Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Raw After WrestleMania review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by another one of the WWE boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to review everything that happened on last night's episode of Monday Night Raw. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube, where we do daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review Monday Night Raw, but also SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0. Oh! AEW Dynamite, AEW Collision, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete. A little bit of a quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick to review the Raw after WrestleMania. And is the Raw after WrestleMania back, Michael Sidgwick?
No, not really. But there was an hour of the show, maybe an hour and 15 of the show, that I had either a really good time with or the time of my goddamn life with. We'll unpack probably bit by bit this Cody Rock stuff, my god. But long time listeners and viewers will remember my complete incredulity at the idea of Michael Hamflett flying over to, when was it? Was it Vegas or Chicago or
I think it might be the Chicago one,
somewhere, or New Orleans or somewhere, where it was Cody and Punk coming face to face. Like, you're flying over for a Raw promo. Like, oh, you've gone too far. You're addicted to the Fed Hamflett. You need some professional help, or at least a 2 week break. In the row we were sat on last night, there was Nicholas, Wilborn, myself, and Murray. And almost at the exact same time, me and Murray, who kind of leaned towards other promotions.
That's fair.
For pure personal preference. Looked at each other during this Cody Rock face-off and basically said, yep, Hamflett was right. This is honestly one of the best live experiences of my life. I don't know if I've been in a louder building.
No. What was it? I mean, they said they were talking about breaking records, 20,000, whatever it was.
And I beat the stadiums as well.
Yeah, it was insane last night. And, you know, maybe I'm getting a bit carried away. I really thought, okay, they've rediscovered the Raw after WrestleMania feel. I think that's probably because I've been there the last 2 years. I've been lucky enough to be there the last 2 years. And it's been, you know,
low bar, though.
Yeah, incredibly low bar. But it was such an anti-climax every time of like, okay, whatever happens at Mania, you know, Cody didn't win, whatever. This is a chance to, I know traditionally business goes in a bit of a lull now, but it's a chance to introduce some new things and say, hey, look, even if you're going away for a while and coming back in SummerSlam, these are the guys you need to pay attention for. And it was just so ploddy, and it was almost made to say to people, okay, go away now. We're just going to be doing some wrestling with people that you don't really care about. The stars have gone. They'll be back in August, but the stars have gone for now. This just felt like a continuation. It helps, obviously, that you've got someone like Cody Rhodes at the helm. But I'm already counting the days till WrestleMania 41 off the back of this. Yeah. I thought it was an excellent show with lots of great stuff in there, which we'll get into. In fact, let's just dive straight into it, because the Raw after WrestleMania starts with Triple H coming out. Huge thank you, Hunter Chance, quite rightly. He talks about this being the greatest WrestleMania of all time, which for once didn't seem like, well, you say that every year. It felt like, yeah, I mean, folks, where is the laugh?
You could certainly make the argument.
Yeah. And he brings out the new champion, Cody Rhodes, who gets a ridiculous reception, but more than deserved, of course. Huge, you deserve it chance for him. And Triple H congratulates him and says, look, you know, I wanted you to just introduce you and leave, but before I go, some of the guys have made something for you. We want to show it to you. I'll be honest, I got a little bit emotional here.
Lush.
It was a combination. I think it's a combination of factors. I definitely had this when Kofi won the title at 35. It was like, this is a wonderful moment. It's family, so it just, you know, connects with people obviously so much more, and especially when you know the familial history of Cody Rhodes. I think also it's because by the time you get to that point, whether it's that WrestleMania at 35 or this Raw after WrestleMania, you're so tired that anything could set you off, basically. But yeah, this wonderful video package plotting Cody Rhodes' history. And you can see, obviously, Cody Rhodes is great at showing emotion, but it clearly hit him very hard, this, and Triple H leaves him in the ring, and we get, well, you got wound up from Cody Rhodes. Look, he acknowledges Roman Reigns for his sensational title run, but he talks about how the fact he's the champion now. He gives a nod to Simon Miller by referencing Cody's daughter as his why, with a little clip of her. And he talks about how he's gone from being an undesirable to undeniable to undisputed champion. And everyone's very happy. And then the final boss's music hits. The manor.
Can I talk about, sorry to interrupt.
No, feel free to jump in.
Can I jump in and just unpack my thoughts on the first bit?
Yes,
otherwise,
yeah,
I'll completely forget and I'll get overwhelmed by manor and The Rock and talking about The Rock. Obviously, we attended the event live at the Wells Fargo Center in Philly. So just to give you some, like, a different perspective, I guess, than we do most weeks, I was astonished by the scale of this Raw. Like, no stage, no need, get as many people in as possible.
And we were quite far at the back, and there was not an empty seat in the house.
Yes, it's crazy. You know, you read the reports, Fightful Select's always on it, of, you know, this arena's gate record for a wrestling show has been smashed virtually every single week at this point. And you see those wrestle ticks,
mm-hmm.
seat maps and tickets sold counts, and you're like, Jesus Christ, it's like, what, 15, 14, 13, 14, 15, like most weeks for Raw and SmackDown. And, you know, the WWE themselves put over the, you know, the viewership records, the PLE. Like,
they had a graph of like consecutive sellouts at one point as well. I don't know if
and you
saw
just
that.
Endlessly get the scope of how big it is. When you are in that building, we were like five rows from the very top.
Yeah.
Really nice architecture on Wells Fargo. You got a good view of the ring. Obviously, like, it's small, but a really good view. And then if you sat that high up like we were, you just get a sense of the occasion, the scope.
I've tweeted a picture of it from the, like, fisheye view, and you just...
It's unbelievable. Oh. This promotion genuinely feels as big as it has in decades.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not I'm trying not to be hyperbolic here, or I don't personally like him. I don't want to minimize the contributions of John Cena, for example, who was so important to the public image of the company. Mm-hmm. And he was such a draw, in fact, and people knew they just wanted to see Cena, that WWE used to have to refund tickets if, for whatever reason, those rare occasions he couldn't do a house show or whatever. This feels as big as WWE has felt in about two decades.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely enormous. Cody, before we get to his promo, I thought the video package was really, really well produced. I will say, I did note the irony of new era, new era, new era, new era. It's a little incidental take here. They must think that Vince is in deep, deep shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's so prominent, this messaging. It's so much at the forefront. And it wasn't last year when he was supposedly not involved in creative.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone seems delighted that he's gone. You can just feel the atmosphere within WWE. It leads me to believe that they think he's in deep shit.
Yeah.
So that was very, very interesting to note. Very ironic that the first three words you hear on this new era, new era, new era, new era of Raw are uttered by Triple H, and those three words are, here's the thing. Not that new, is it? Not that new, is it?
Opening promo train, is it?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's one of the best ones I've ever
seen.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so we get the Cody promo, as I say, undesirable, undeniable, undisputed champion. The Rock's music hits. The crowd goes crazy, and I don't know how it felt like in the arena. It felt about 10 minutes before he actually said a word. You know, he's putting the mic to his hands. We get Undertaker chants, we get Rocky Sucks chants, we get asshole chants. There's a wonderful callback, shout out to Sean Ross Sapp who pointed this out, that he says The Rock is a lot of things, but suck is not one of them, which is the first thing he said when he turned heel back in 97 or whatever it was. But the crowd, yeah, just trying to boo him out of the building, trying to Dominic Mysterio him so much that we get a Rock appearance without him saying anything, yeah. It felt like, briefly. But The Rock's all about breaking records, Sige, and he tells us that we've broken another record.
Yeah, again.
People, I was so happy.
Oh my God, they grabbed each other by the arm.
It's the largest gathering, trailer park trash.
I've seen The Rock before live, but it's completely different gravy.
Yeah.
I saw him as a main event talent, but it was on a house. I've seen him twice before this, actually. Well, before this WrestleMania weekend. Actually, I've seen him three times.
Oh, wow.
I've seen The Rock at a house show in Newcastle in like April or March 1999. Their old WrestleMania Revenge tour. Capital Carnage in 1998, and I've seen him open the show alongside Austin and Hogan at WrestleMania 30.
Yes,
this is his best form that I've seen him in. That I've seen him in, certainly. I've always wanted to be there when he has said, "You're a piece of trailer park trash."
Yeah,
always.
I talked on our reviews of how I have like a checklist as a fan of The Rock. The Rock's my favorite of all time, as I've said. Of like entrance, check. Turn to Kenny Omega here.
Yeah.
Rock bottom, check.
Oh, can I just say on Kenny Omega now that's gone in my head? I love how, of course, it's the best WrestleMania ever when it's Paul Levesque's first proper official canon one. Did you do the best WrestleMania of all time, Vince?
Ooh, I did.
I did. First try.
Try. So, yeah, entrance, rock bottom, people's elbow, win. And I was thinking, I've done everything. I don't need anything else now.
Yeah,
I could die a happy man. And then he told us to chant, "Shut the F up." He swore, and I thought, oh no, that's an extra one. I want to hear The Rock swear in person.
The Rock saying the F word in person, I just exploded with glee.
Anyway, he says, look, he's not here to cause any trouble. He's here to give him his flowers to Cody. Talks about Mama Rhodes, and you think, oh, where's this going?
So good at the subtext now.
Yeah.
He's learned some stuff from Hollywood.
He
a quiet delivery. Yeah, he's just great.
He referenced this coach's dad, hero, Dusty Rhodes, legend, and he says, can I hold your belt?
He'd say, I.
Yes.
In a very soft, he's so good at being the sinister guy now. Like, looks at him and dad goes, can The Rock hold that belt, Cody Rhodes? It's just so funny how he says it for everything. He's never said the word I in a boot once.
Indeed, yeah.
30 odd years. But it's one thing when it's like, The Rock's going to kick your ass or something. Yeah. That's when it's like braggadocious. When it's like the most regular run-of-the-mill thing you can say, the idea of referring to yourself in the third person becomes even funnier.
Can The Rock get a napkin?
Yeah, that kind of thing, yeah.
So
I love him so much.
He says, can The Rock hold your belt? And the fans don't know what they want to happen at that point, which is just amazing. Half the people are chanting yes, half the people are saying no. People are just like, don't trust him, Cody. Cody says, you want to hold this belt? You can hold this belt if I can hold yours. And because The Rock, I forgot to mention, has come down with the People's Champion belt that he wore into WrestleMania, of course. And the tension of a belt swap.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you this belt, right? Now you give me your belt, and they swap, and you know, Cody puts on the People's Champion belt, and The Rock puts on the Undisputed Championship, and The Rock says, wow, this just feels right. And you're like,
he looked amazing with that belt on.
But you're also like, okay, now give it back, it's not yours.
They did such a great job. Sorry, I'm going to interject.
No, feel free.
I will forget to say things, my memory's not the best. It's such a good job with... It's the old cliche of the Jake Roberts promo cadence. You can get so much out of speaking in low, hushed, almost sinister, very, very serious tones. It was just the thickness of the tension in that arena being there live was incredible. There was always the threat, that crackle in the air of, he's going to hit him with that belt.
Yeah. And it, you know, it's a belt. It's a that belt is a an amalgamation of different belts, obviously, but a new version of a belt that this guy's held before. And he lists all the belts, by the way, that he's held previously. But he's like, I've never held that belt. And the way he looks at it, I'm like, oh. Oh, it feels, just feels right.
You can tell he's an actor, right? And quietly, quite a good one.
Yes.
By the standards of the genre that he happily wades into, right? And it's not just the softness of the speech and all of the rest of it. It's any other wrestler who The Rock towers above right now in this year of 2024, any other wrestler Gollumize it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, my precious, and be like, so like, almost leching over it with this ridiculous. The Rock, it seems ridiculous. It's quite subtle.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. But anyway, they swap the belts back and says, look, The Rock's got to go away for a while. And the fans show their appreciation by chanting, na na, na 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 na.
Hey, goodbye.
But he says he's coming back. He's coming back for Cody, whether or not he's got the championship. He says, look, you know, you did it. You finished the story. You beat Roman Reigns in the main event of WrestleMania. But The Rock beat you 24 hours before. He says, look, you finished the story, but our story has just begun. And Cody says, look, you're the boss. You're the final boss. You're my boss. But I'm there and you're champion. And The Rock says, you are the champion. And before I go, I want to give you something. And he hands Cody something. We don't know what it is, whilst telling him to never break his heart again.
I was fascinated by this.
Yes.
What? You know what he's talking about?
There was just a split second when he went into his pocket. I thought he was going to do the classic Cosmo Fury. Oh,
yeah.
Middle finger, baby.
I have no idea what it is. We'll go into the speculation if we remember, because there's a lot to unpack here.
You've got a great shout. I can't.
It was not me. I know, read it on Twitter.
I've never heard it before.
Someone on Twitter, a few people independently arrived at this. What if it's a lighter, with the idea being that he had torched the tour bus that had, you know, in real life, accidentally caught fire?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those where if you found out that someone had tried to kill you, you'd probably just try and beat them up then and then. So I don't think it is. But this is good. It's, you know, it evokes talk, discourse, good kind of discourse, where you're actually engaging with the medium of where the story's going, of what it could possibly be. That really weird tonal shift of you broke my heart once, I'm thinking, what?
Mm.
So such a strange way to go about it, but I found it so compelling.
Exactly. It's far more intriguing than just, I'll see you when I come back.
So. And I hate you. And yeah, it's just like, what's this relationship now? I found it very... I need to say, before I talk about The Rock and how much I love him, one more thing on Cody. When you saw the scale of the occasion, how many people were packed in, the noise that he generated, the tears, it felt in that moment... And you know, recency bias is good. I say this a lot. You want to be able to feel things and engage, and even me to say, have fun with it. Like, let yourself enjoy it. It felt like you just watched the crowning of the most deserving champion of my lifetime.
Yes.
Even if that's not necessarily the case. I think it is. I mean, if you look at what he's done with AEW, how he's elevated WWE, how he was kind of unfancied, how inspirational is it? Like, 2016... You didn't think he was going to do this.
No.
Dave Meltzer, like, I know you don't, if you don't like his star ratings, that's fine. If you don't like his quirks, that's fine. If you've got a head on your shoulders, you would know that he's quite prescient.
Yes.
And knows where business trends are going. If you go back, he always says, that guy's going to be great. Well, if this company keeps trending in this direction, some good things will happen. They keep doing this, it's a bad time for them. He's very, very prescient in business. 2016, he was like, he's a handsome guy who looked good on TV, but he wasn't great in the ring.
He's just going to be another one of those guys in like a list of second generation or third generation or whatever wrestlers.
Because when he first left, Dave was like, don't know what he's done this for. He had a job for life. Yeah. No one really fancies him as a main event talent. And if you remember as well, 2016, this was before January 4th, 2017, which changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, people have always liked good wrestling, but that just made it the norm, the seal, the floor, all the rest of it. And Cody was just like, they used to call him three-star Cody.
Yeah.
They used to call him three-star Cody because he didn't give them what at that point were the precious five-star matches. The graft, the self-belief, He's a guy who can actually draw. When he don't even have to now.
Yeah.
But he still does. And it's made two companies better. One has no right to exist. One, if it was on merit, wouldn't exist.
No.
But it's not on merit, it's rights fees. Just watching the coronation, the super emotional coronation of the most deserving world champion of my lifetime, I think. It was like really something.
Mm.
It was really something.
Enough about him, though. Let's talk about The Rock.
Yeah, this was... So I would have been happy with that Cody thing. It was just a beautiful, beautiful scene. It truly was. I thought, right, okay, if there's nothing else on this Raw, I would have been happy with that to see that genuinely. And then if you smell it, oh my God, see The Rock, the final boss. We were, I think all of us, it's been a bit of a telepathy going on in this Airbnb over the past few days because a few times we've all had the same thoughts enter our heads at like similar times. I think we all sat there and like, just do this all night.
Yeah,
do this for 3 freaking hours. I'm completely on the hook to like sort of extrapolate that, right? Obviously, I would have liked to have talked at some point. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, how long could I watch The Rock, microphone to lips, raining booze, like one of the loudest reactions mm-hmm. I've ever heard, sustained reactions in the building. Felt like the biggest thing on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
This segment. Which made the shift when the matches happened like really, really jarring. How long, I reckon, can I have sat there, microphone to face, raining jeers, smoke grin, I've got you.
Yeah.
I could do this all night, microphone down. A long time.
Yeah.
God damn it, a long, long time. It was so weird because yesterday I was really tired.
Mm-hmm.
Been at WrestleMania doing like lots of content, a totally nightmarish sensory overload of the honking horns for the Ubers getting
yeah,
home, and you get home and then you get like a 6-hour block and then it's back to the grind. I was tapping out at Raw. This segment and the atmosphere and the star power and the delivery was so unbelievably great that I just felt alive and awake. The come down after this was something fierce. The Rock, every facial expression is brilliant. The fact that he used to come back and do STD or whatever, Kung Pao bitch,
popcorn
and like,
fart.
Yeah, he's like, he's phoning it in, yeah. And he's so good that even when he phoned it in, he's still electrified.
Even relatively recently, you are an asshole.
That, I mean, that was crap. This is The Rock's up. He's in guard mode.
Yeah, he is.
He's just everything about him is incredible. His fans, and he just. We were like, the only time I felt, oh, don't do this, or I'm not having a great time, is when they started doing the watch chant. And even then it was so loud.
He went to you and said, don't ruin it. Yeah.
Don't ruin it. Don't ruin it. And then he just shuts him down. And then he swears and he says the F word and it's the best thing in the world and it's great. And then the sinister, The Rock, have a hold of that bell? It just felt... amazing to
yeah.
be a part of. I cannot wait for him to come back.
Hamlet makes a really good point. He says WWE every wrestling company does this of better tune in on Sunday because the end of the world's
yeah,
going to
yeah.
happen, and then on Monday, well, better stick around because the end of the world's coming. That's the personification
yeah.
of it. Cody has to dethrone the longest reigning champion, all that. He does it and you go, but everyone said, well, what's the story after that?
There's one more boss fight. It's the final boss. I mean, they've hidden that in plain sight.
Yeah.
This was absolutely incredible, deafening, just excessively entertaining, but also not just a sing-along, not just like a bit of cool wrestling theatre. Like, I was genuinely compelled by the story threads. This, I tell you what, right? People know me, and if you don't, welcome to the podcast. Hopefully you stick around. People know me. I don't have like this, I wouldn't call it a bias, it's just everyone has a preference and it's gloopy, synthetic presentation, not necessarily for me. I was watching this, I'm thinking, this is the most I've earnestly felt something for WWE in years and years and years. I soon lost the feeling, but I cannot wait for him to come back and do some more stuff, man. It's going to be fantastic.
What did he give him? I'm just...
Let us know your ideas.
Yeah, I've heard... like a Hall of Fame ring or the Dusty Watch.
So what's the story there? So the idea would be that Cody was gifted it.
Yes.
And then he gave it to The Rock, thank you for the house, here's this. And The Rock's like, I don't want to have it back.
Yeah, or just remember the power I have within this company. I could, I don't know, wipe your daddy out of the history book.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I really like the light suggestion, even though it's preposterous.
Yeah.
But that's the hook. I mean, that's the hook. Those two going at it eventually, but the added spice of what did he give him?
Yeah.
Like in theory, you should have just had, you know, Byron Saxton go, "What was that?" or anything, because he said, "What did he say?" Something like, "You don't even need to open your hand to know what this
yes.
is."
Yes.
Just wasn't. What's in the box? What's in the hand?
Honestly, man, I just love this so much.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Let's move on, though, because
yep, the come down's coming.
We've got more of the show to talk about. There weren't necessarily main roster call-ups because they were people in NXT who've got world titles. Although Ilya Dragunov is going to be involved in the draft. That was the person who showed up next. It was Shinsuke Nakamura. And, you know, all credit to Shinsuke, but the moment he came out, you and I looked at each other and went, well, someone's showing up then, because they're not just having Shinsuke versus, yeah, you know, Brutus Creed. Love to Brutus Creed, by the way. I hope Julius Creed's all right, because we saw him on the main event with Ivar.
Yeah, Ivar hit a moonsault like shin first.
Hope he's okay. But regardless, we knew someone was coming out. It was Ilya Dragunov, NXT champion. Nice, fun, hard-hitting match. I didn't make many notes for this because I was still, like you say, on the come down of The Rock and Cody. Shinsuke hit him some good shots. He even hit him like a Kinshasa to the back of the head, and that great sliding suplex that you and I love from the inside, yeah, to the outside of the ring. But in the end, yeah, Ilya hits all of his big moves. Torpedo Moscow gets the 1-2-3. And he got a good reaction as well. This is the, you know, perfect place to showcase someone like Ilya Dragunov without having a video package. Oh, who are you going to know who he is? Well, half the crowd were there probably for Stand and Deliver just a few days
where?
Before. Oh, yo, yo. And it was nice to hear him get that reaction, and a great way to introduce him to the main roster crowd.
What reaction? Didn't get a reaction.
Yeah, he was. I think
he worked him into the match.
Yeah, that's
to
the
his
best way to
credit.
Put it.
Like that, he did get people on side. I was fascinated by this, and I'm not saying I've like nailed something here or stumbled onto something huge, because it's a small sample. But I got an indication, right? You know, when I'm all up, you go to a PLE or you watch a PLE at home, and generally the crowd reactions to the in-ring are way, way higher or louder rather than they are on a TV taping. And every week on Raw, we sit down for these reviews and I will say words to the effect of, and we can hear a rare piss out of Carton. Why is there no atmosphere for these matches? Do they even like wrestling? Blah, blah, blah. And it was always sort of like, I couldn't reconcile it, and it was baffling to me. I think I've got an indication as to why this is. If you're on a premium live event, a pay-per-view, interchangeable phrases, you've kind of made it to an extent. Mm-hmm. Like, the fans have embraced them. They are received as stars. They are then reinforced as stars by appearing on the big events. And then the fans see them in that way and then react to them. With Dragunov, it was just so bizarre. Like, and again, it's a small sample. I'm just talking about the people I could hear in earshot of us. But it really felt like, unless you have made it as a star on WWE TV, in the minds of even WWE fans, they're not going to take you seriously. Like, it felt like they were quite a discerning, almost like harsh bunch. And, you know, Philly's got that rep. It's like a hardcore hotbed of go on, impress me. Same with Chicago, same with New York. So maybe it's that, maybe I'm completely off base, but it was fascinating of like, we're watching him do like the German trifecta, for example, and people were saying, oh, is he just ripping off Kurt Angle, is he, or whatever? And I'm thinking, these are a hard, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
It just takes them a while to really embrace people as stars that they can buy into and take seriously. And it would make sense when it is the star-driven company. It is the one that it is the big game in town, and maybe it just doesn't pass muster if you are out there and they don't really know who you are or care. They're not going to give you a shot. They're like, well, where's my stars? And it kind of makes sense about the complexion of the audience and, you know, the sort of the vision, the philosophy of the company. I just got a bit of an insight there. I mean, they gave him nothing until he worked him a bit into it. Then he got what I would describe as a polite reaction. And he couldn't possibly call it, like, you know, a good reaction. I mean, look, we just saw that opening segment. It seems to take ages.
I suppose I'm just happy we're one step closer to Dragunov versus Gunther on the main roster.
Yes, that's great as well. What else is great? Another live perspective. I sat next to Wilborn, right? First of all, he loves WWE. Second of all, he's like, we're doing some bloody graft here in the States, but it's a fun, fun work trip. So he's been on cloud nine most of the weekend. I've never seen him like legit pissed off after the Rock segment of all things when Dragunov came out and you said,
I'll censor myself because I'm going to give anyone extra work. I said, why the flip didn't Tony D'Angelo win the world title then if you're just going to bring Dragunov to the main roster? I get it, they've done it with both champions in NXT to be like, oh, these are champions, but
it was just hilarious how much he mood soured.
I said let's go home, why bother now?
I don't think I've ever seen you in that much of a mood.
Thankfully, something cheered both of us up following this because
I can't believe this.
The Judgment Day came out. I'm talking about Finn Balor, JD McDonagh, and Dominic Mysterio. We'll do the censored version again to save ourselves some work for now. Subsequently, they were to be joined by Rhea Ripley and new World Heavyweight Champion Damian Priest. And of course, collectively,
they're in the flipping Judgment Day.
Yeah, so Finn Balor says, you're all wrong. You all said Rhea was going to drop the title and Priest was going to fail his cash in. And Dom, huge booze yet again, brings out Rhea Ripley, who says she's always on top and gets a huge reaction. And then Finn Balor brings out the new World Heavyweight Champion, Damian Priest, who looks great in this suit with the championship on his arm. And he tells us to all... He called them the Terror Twins or something. It's a really bad name.
He gave himself and
Rhea Ripley. We'll move past that because what came next was amazing. So he does the whole all rise for the Judgment Day. And he holds up his World Heavyweight Championship. And Rhea holds up her world title. And then you just see this red tag team belt come in between them. And there's R-Truth celebrating.
I pop my tits off, man. I pop my tits off.
It finally happened.
For the first time I've ever laughed at something that R-Truth has done. This was, not only was it such a well-timed visual gag, but the...
Didn't see it coming,
comedy, you know this, all about timing. Mm-hmm. It's all in timing. And after all of this, you've just been in a match with them. You've just taken that belt. How do you still think you're in the group? After all this,
he said he brought the tag titles back to the Judgment Day.
It was just such a great, great running gag.
Priest was really good as well here of like, no, we're not doing this. Just the frustration of this all was spectacular.
Like, I mean, that's a rule of three. This is going to be like the rule of like 33.
Yes.
How do you get... I just thought it was wonderful. That is such a great, great visual gag.
And R-Truth says, look, I know we're kind of picky about who we bring into the Judgment Day, and he's shooting looks at JD McDonagh through all this, but he wants to bring out potentially a new member. But the Miz comes out and he's like, I don't want to be in Judgment Day. And they go back and forth, and Finn says, you know, you're not in the Judgment Day, but we do want to bring the tag titles back there effectively. How about we face you for a tag title match? and R-Truth says, "Oh, there's three of us." And he's just like, "You're not." Little Jimmy gets a chance. "You're not talking about Little Jimmy, are you?" R-Truth says, "No, no, no." He says, "Look, let's have a 3-on-3 match, right? It's going to be JD McDonagh, Finn Balor, Dominic Mysterio versus Miz, me." And he points at this empty space and says, "The man we can't see."
You know how Hamflet's got this thing about continuity? And for him, it gives him an endorphin rush.
Mm.
Like, you know, linear storytelling. Basic linear storytelling gives him I kind of got it here.
Yeah.
I don't even like Little Jimmy or John Cena, but how do you make the connection between, oh, you've got an invisible friend and your hero is you can't see? I thought that's pretty good stuff.
Yes. I also like the fact that some WWE fans are so impatient. I'm like, "We want Cena." I was like, "Yeah, they're going to get to that. They've just heavily implied it."
Yeah, they're going to build it and hopefully make you want him more.
They're like, so the Judgment Day beat him down, by the way, and in the, I assume in the break, it's obviously weird to tell when you're in the arena, they set it up, "Oh, it's a tag match. It's a handicap match. It's 2-on-3. And everyone's like, "Oh no, I thought we were getting John Cena." I was like, "We are."
Yeah.
I, again, didn't make any notes because that's all we were waiting for. And I said to you, "Well, I do hope there isn't a moment in this match where there's no one in the corner for someone to tag on the babyface side." And then, so Miz gets isolated, Truth gets beaten down on the outside, and we're all waiting for it. It finally hits. John Cena's music, huge pep again. He runs down, he sort of giddily runs up and down the apron. I'm like, "Come on, here we go." Miz gets over there, tags John Cena in. He does the John Cena offense, and they set up to have a triple "You Can't See Me" from Miz, Truth and Cena, and a triple AA for the 1-2-3. This was just a really nice moment.
Maybe for you. I'm not a Cena guy.
No.
I will say, right, I am the loner outside dissenting voice because I just didn't enjoy this. Other people did. It worked for the building. If you want to do the really objective stuff, yes, this worked. I will admit that. Why would I like lie and say, "No, it was rubbish this"? You know what was rubbish? It's so surreal. And obviously it doesn't help that you've just, like, the building has been flooded by mana, right? Okay, it's an emergency situation. The building has been flooded with mana and people are trying to swim out of it, and it's hard. It really is difficult for people to do that, okay? I need to sneeze, but I'm just going to talk through it.
Okay.
I didn't know what else to do then. I was like, whatever. You should be able to hear ambient noises in the background. Like someone eating, someone getting out of their chair, maybe some keys rustling in a pocket, someone's trying to get the phone out. You could hear, for the first however many minutes of this match, absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. And, you know, people like R-Truth, people like The Miz, you know, Judgment Day are an overact. I think this one's more just adrenaline dump stuff.
Yeah.
And realistically, the match wasn't particularly good. It was just by the numbers.
Waiting for the moment.
Waiting. And, like, everyone knew, it was like, "Well, we're just waiting for Cena now." So everything that happens is immaterial. And, you know, the people involved in the match did try and work hard to make you want more, but it didn't really work at all. So it was weird. Like, you have this, when you go and watch Raw live, you have this weird, it's like you're watching it with two brains. You're watching it with the expectation of how it unfolds on TV versus the weird way of the machinations of how they shoot it. So there's an entrance, loads of adverts, and then the entrance comes back. I was like, "You've been in the ring, you poor prick, that entire time. You've got no idea what's in picture in picture or whatever." I don't even know if this was the first hour commercial free, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
This could have happened commercial free, and it was wrestled as if virtually all of it was in a commercial break.
Yes.
Either that or just the action was so unexciting that, you know, whatever. John Cena comes out. You know what his performance reminds me of? And it's so odd considering they call him the greatest of all time.
What?
And I don't like him particularly in the ring. But there are people, self-appointed hipsters on socials, who really rate John Cena as an all-timer. I don't get it. I never will. I'm correct in my convictions. I think John Cena, with his ridiculous, he's never been like, he's always moved weird, he's always been clunky, he's always been goofy, he's always gurned, but now it's like he's a parody of that version, which is already a parody of like a good guy baby face.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, he bounces to the ring, he makes these incredibly weird, wild, goofy, wacky, broad gestures, but he's hovering over the ring for the hot tag. He's vibrating. He's like, you know, when you used to see these guest host era celebrities, and they do like a hot tag spot or whatever.
Yes.
And it's like, right, just be animated. Someone will tag you in. Don't do anything, they'll bump for you. You get your hand raised at the end. John Cena wrestles like a celebrity who is trying very, very hard, and he's never actually worked. It's bizarre. Everyone loved it except me, so let's just move on.
I think one thing we also loved came next, because Rhea Ripley and Dom's got talking backstage. Dom's going to set up the match there and him with Andrade next week. And then Rhea Ripley's just on her own, and this chair just comes flying into shot, bounces off her head. The camera pans, there's Liv Morgan. She beats her up. Eventually they get separated or pulled apart by officials and what have you. Dom comes back in. That bit where, I know we bang on about production, I don't want to talk about it too much. Dom shoves the camera away, like, get away, you don't need to see this. It spins round, and they walk through like a walkway out into the arena. It looked amazing.
Yeah. No. Again, like, I don't. You're trapped between the two worlds, aren't you? Where you, if you overpraise it, people think you actually think it's cinema and it's Birdman.
Mm.
And if you underpraise it, I don't think it's fair. Like, they've made genuine improvements.
Exactly.
And it's not difficult to improve upon the nightmarish, literally nausea-inducing mm-hmm. way they used to do things. But I think they've cleared the low bar here. I do. I think it's just shot really quite well these days.
I like it.
I don't think there's any bloody shame in admitting it. It's ridiculous.
I like Liv Morgan as the future next opponent for Rhea Ripley. I should mention as well, we got a video package for Sheamus. We'll probably talk more about that on the SmackDown preview later on this week, because that's probably where he's going to show up. Very excited to see him back. It's weird, and you don't want to be harsh, but when you're at when you're watching the Raw after WrestleMania, you're almost hoping for a match with someone that you don't really care about, and that's what we got next. Indi Hartwell came out, and we thought, oh, you know, Indi Hartwell, she's playing this, like, what the bloody hell's going on here, Candice? Why are we always bloody cheating?
The lack of reaction for Indi, I felt sorry for her.
I did too.
It must be heartbreaking to do this every single week.
She's like, well, have you not clicked in that Candice wants you to cheat? And you
the booking doesn't help. No. People think she's a moron. Or a non-entity, or both.
So she comes out with Candice LeRae, and then we get another surprise appearance from NXT, the new NXT Women's Champion. Roxanne Perez shows up. The finish to this match, I'm just going to jump to the finish. The finish to this match was also weird, because Candice LeRae loves to cheat. Indi Hartwell's like, be bloody cheating you or something? What the hell's going on, Candice? So she like grabbed Roxanne Perez's leg to distract her. Indy's like, I don't want to win like this, Candice. But in the mixture of that and the ref going, stop messing about you, Candice, Roxanne Perez rakes the ice, because she's a heel in NXT. She hit Pop Rocks, though. She got the 1-2-3. Do you think it's time for Roxanne Perez to move up to the main roster, Sige?
Oh, boy.
Oh,
I never have to ask you again.
No.
Well, nearly.
I said as well, we'll finish the story.
Yeah.
If she's been promoted to the main roster,
we're done.
The theme of the weekend has continued into Monday Night Raw. Our story, Wilborn.
Indeed.
Might well have been finished. I'm debating whether to say this, because I have this conflict where I really don't want to present all of my takes or insights or whatever, like, in reaction to the worst conversations, because you only then yourself have bad conversations. Like, what's the difference between putting Dragunov and Roxanne Perez with no vignettes?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the viewership between SmackDown and Raw and NXT, I mean, clearly you need a little bit of context to who these people are, why you like them. Give me some hype video or a vignette or that sense of anticipation or that the world's going to change and it's Dragunov going to lead that change and all the rest of it. What's the difference?
Mm.
You've done it
with Bron Breakker and you don't really need to.
Yeah, you've seen it in the crowd reaction. It's like, what happened to a vignette?
Mm.
I'll have a bloody vignette, me. Triple H does the same things. I try not to care, but it's just, it is notable. It's notable. And you saw the reaction. He's done a bad job here. I think he has done a bad job. It was always a weird one. I used to hate it back when NXT was really hot and, like, acclaimed. Sorry, Wilbur.
That's fair.
Where they would just debut someone the night after WrestleMania. They would usually get a bigger pop than this.
Yep.
The crowd in the next town would infer, oh, well, they're stars. People react to them like stars. That never really worked that way. It's just, I think it's minimal effort with these NXT corps. But you get, maybe that's a WWE mentality of, well, you have to impress them. It'll take about 6 months to a year.
Mm.
That's how we do things here. Yeah.
Unless you're
maybe
breaker.
That's what it is. You know? Aye. But just the way that these new debuting names, I guess, were received and presented. Maybe it's a Lions Day. It is of like, well, you made it to the big leagues now.
Yeah.
Let's see what you've got. As opposed to, we'll take all of the care and attention to put you over. But it's sink or swim with the fans and, in fact, with the office, it seems like.
New Intercontinental Champion Sami Zayn came out next. Just beloved for obvious reasons. Another round of You Deserve It chants. He puts over Gunther in his 666-day reign. And he goes through the fact that without each and every one of you, but in a nice way,
yeah,
this time, he wouldn't have been able to do it. He wouldn't have been able to dethrone that unstoppable force of Gunther. He thanks the fans. He thanks his family, of course. He thanks Kevin Owens. We all know where this is heading. But before he can get to Chad Gable, he's interrupted by Giovanni Vinci and Ludwig Kaiser of Imperium.
Kaiser's great at getting heat live.
He called him a bum.
Yeah.
And he said, look at all these peasants, basically, in Philly. He was disgusted with the fact that Sami Zayn beat Gunther. And he says, we are here to make it right. But they sort of surround the ring as much as two people can. But before they can attack Sami Zayn, Chad Gable comes out to make the save. We get the shoosh, we get the thank you. And in the break, I believe, again, we're not really sure what's on and what's off. What was definitely off telly was the sign of the night thing, which was a huge part in attendance.
Tell us, people might not know.
Yeah, you've probably seen talk about this. I think Miller definitely tweeted this. So they do a bit when they're in an ad break, and it varies. They do like Pat McAfee.
It's really sweet because there's like, well, sorry, go on.
Yeah, they do several different things of like, keep an eye on where the championship is and the Money in the Bank briefcase and da-da-da. Or like Pat McAfee does it like a McAfee minute and embarrasses Michael Cole and always says it's his birthday. Da-da. They do a sign of the night thing, which they've done for previous years. The ones I've been there before, that some of the stuff they used to do was like, look, do as your best.
Suck it or whatever. Show me your cat. Right. Show me your cat.
But they do sign of the night and it's lovely. It's just a load of kids with their homemade
signs. Oh, man, I miss my children, man.
Yeah, it's just really heartwarming.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, fans who have written...
See you later, guys.
Who've written, you know, I travelled from, I don't know, South Africa or whatever for this. And it's great. And Samantha Irvin does a great job of announcing it, and they da, 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 da. And then what did the sign say again?
Watch out for that diddy.
She got halfway through saying the sign, and then she stopped, and the cameraman just swerved away from one of the paps of the night. And it's Samantha, she was great. We had a great weekend.
Funny. I don't know if I've turned the corner. I used to find her so like cringeworthy.
Yeah. OTT.
Like, I think she's great at what she does. In that environment, yeah. I mean, she's unbelievable. The best I've had since Finkel, probably.
Mm-hmm. But the way she handled it as well was so great. It'll probably be shared all over social media. But yes, in the break, we get the match set up. Zayn and Gable versus Imperium. What more to say on Chad Gable that hasn't already been said?
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
He's an absolute freak. He's getting a title match next week with Sami Zayn. Very excited to preview that with the Dudleys. Because he's just... His body is amazing. Even from like the back of the arena, you can just see the power he's got. Now, I'm very excited if they do decide. Because I was thinking that we were thinking they might even pull the trigger on a Gable Hill turn here. He didn't, though. We get three stereo suplexes to Imperium by Gable and Zayn. Zayn hits the Helluva kick. He's got the match won at that point, but he tags in Chad Gable to give him the victory. He hits him with that amazing suplex, the stalling suplex that he does. 1, 2, 3. And it was already tension for me. Anytime Gable walked behind Sami Zayn in their celebration, I thought, he's going to snap and attack him. Not yet, but they've got the title match in Montreal next week.
They did a great job with slowly building the tension. I'm so into this now, where I wasn't, because I thought they'd signposted it. Hands are up. Hands are completely up. I think they're doing a great job with this. I really wish... You know, there's an element now where I'm thinking, should I start trusting this process a bit more? I think there's been some residual cynicism left over from the Vince regime, which I think is thoroughly justified.
If you sat through 2 decades of that, that's understandable, mate.
You're going to have it. You're going to have it. To the point now where I'm going to watch with actual attention and not just be, I'll be surprised with the quality on the night. Like, when does the turn happen? How well do they build to it? Honestly, this Gunther-Sami Zayn match was epiphany stuff for me. I was like, I should probably be a little bit more trusting of all of this. But you know, WWE's done an unbelievable job. Elements of this role were completely mid as hell. Like, just completely mid as hell. And I don't think that will ever go away.
No.
But they've done such a great, great job of this Sami Zayn, Chad Gable stuff. And how long can it run? You could get one of the in-ring feuds of the year out of this. Mm-hmm. You don't quite know where the turn is happening. But they've done such a... Chad Gable could be the new Drew McIntyre. I don't think he's going to be as entertaining. But what I mean by this is like... a fully fleshed out heel character who almost did everything possible not to do it,
mm-hmm.
who tried to hold on to his convictions, but it's like anything, the longer you sit on something, the angrier you get about it. And they're actually getting, to a degree, actual human behaviour, this creative writing team. And I'm massively into this now. The match itself wasn't one of the best tags you'd ever see, but my God, this woke up the crowd by the finish. It really did.
Yeah, and I want to put over all of them in the match, but yet again, you and I just... loving Giovanni Vinci.
My God, he's an animal. He's an absolute machine in there.
During the show, I'll just circle back to this because there was a segment with the three general managers. You've got Postman Pierce, you've got Nick Aldis, and you've got Ava. She hasn't got a surname. She's The Rock's daughter and the general manager of NXT.
Yeah.
They're backstage hyping up the draft that's going to happen in a few weeks. And they're interrupted by Chelsea Green, who's pissed off that she wasn't on WrestleMania, and they say, don't worry, you'll get your moment tonight. Go out there, we've got the perfect opponent. And it's like Pierce has got a loner from all this. And yes, Chelsea Green comes out, and we're like, who's it going to be? And then Jade Cargill comes out. I mean, she did two moves, the kick and Jaded, and got the 1-2-3. Chelsea Green sold it brilliantly when she was held up for the Jaded. Yeah. But we talk about manner. We talk about aura with Jade Cargill.
I talked about go on then, impress me. That seems to be the mentality within these WWE crowds. Again, small sample, but I think there might be a little bit of something to this take. Jade Cargill, go on, impress me. You take a 1 second glimpse at Jade Cargill, I'm impressed.
Yeah,
I like what you've got come out here. It's just instant star power. It's kind of weird how they've debuted her in effect 3 times, you know what I mean?
It
just feels like they are. Every time she comes out, she's being introduced for the first time. But at the same time, it's like she does take your breath away every single time with that presence and those intangibles. Shout out to Chelsea Green. This was a 2-move match, and her facial expressions were tremendous throughout.
Right, main event time. Number one contenders, Fatal 4-Way, Drew McIntyre, Ricochet, Bronson Reed, and Jey Uso. Prior to the match, Drew McIntyre came out first, got on the mic. He was fizzing about losing the title, obviously, in the opener of WrestleMania Night 2. Go and check out our review of WrestleMania Night 2 for us purring about that opener, by the way. He's angry. He respects the war that he went to with Seth. He talks about it being a very brief title reign and then says something along the lines of, well, it's longer than you people can last in bed, etc., etc.
Yeah.
I don't really understand what he's meaning by that.
I don't.
Well, I sleep for about 8 hours generally if I'm lucky, so I don't know what he means by it. Don't you?
Because who sleeps for 46 seconds?
Yeah, I don't get it.
I was talking about sexual intercourse.
Oh, that makes sense.
People's ability to withstand the intense pleasure of it. Some people can, some people can't.
And I mean, folks, for me, where is the line? He called Priest a bondage undertaker. And he's called Punk a coward and said it's on site for him. More on that.
And I love that. Because, yeah.
That fun match, usual sort of Fatal 4-Way stuff of like, oh, it's convenient that person's been knocked out of the ring so these two people can do spots or whatever. Tables involved, obviously, Fatal 4-Way rules and...
perfectly legal, Colt.
There was a table set up in the corner. I think Drew was the one to set it up. And in the end, it looks like Jay's going to spear Bronson Reed through the table. I did like the fact he ran it in for a spear and Bronson Reed just stopped him.
Yeah.
I like the way they're presenting Bronson Reed. He picked up Jay, slammed him through the table. Doesn't get the pinfall though. Then it's Drew and Ricochet's turn. Ricochet was bumping like crazy here. He looked really good. There's the clip you've probably seen on Twitter of him screaming as he gets powerbombed by Drew.
No.
There's a pop for green shirt guy when they're fighting on the outside as well, who I saw was somewhat involved. I saw a brief clip on X of him being involved in the Seth Rollins entrance from night two. That's cool. And people are suddenly like, wait a second. Obviously he's... Anyway. It comes down to... So Ricochet's been taken out. Jey Uso, by the way, had taped ribs for that bump he took on night two, understandably. So it comes down to Drew and Bronson. What a face-off that was. I can't remember why, but Drew was on his knees and Bronson came in.
And his facial expression was, you're quite big and I'm a little bit intimidated here. And then he subverted it when he got to his knees. Like, I'm taller than you.
Yeah.
Taller than you, boy.
It was so good. Meet
and
Chance.
We wanted a singles match on the back of that.
Meet Chance for the two of them. There was a great sequence involving all four men of hitting things, super kicks and what have you, to each other. Jey hit, I think it was Reed, with a spear and almost got a three count. And then it ends up that we have, I think it was Jey and Bronson Reed, but regardless, Bronson Reed ends up on the announce table on the outside, and Ricochet drops Jey Uso, realizes where he is and what he's in relation to, and he hits this preposterous springboard 450 to the outside to splash Bronson Reed through the table.
Oh my god, obviously I think the button would have broke after the first segment.
Yes.
If it still existed and it was here, it's getting pressed.
It's just an amazing spot, and the best way to say, you know, I know Ricochet is the one giving the move, but both these men are done in this match.
Yeah, absolutely. Really great, great spot.
And it comes down to Jey Uso and Drew McIntyre. And it looks like Drew McIntyre is going to win the match. He's thrown Jey Uso and dropped him in the ring. And he sets up the Claymore countdown in the corner.
3, 2, 1.
He goes to run out the corner. Ooh, wait a second, my foot's stuck. Who's grabbed his leg? But CM Punk, who's appeared from under the ring, grabbed Drew McIntyre's leg. Drew, what the bloody hell are you doing here? Turns round, spear from Jey Uso, big splash, 1, 2, 3. CM Punk has cost Drew McIntyre again, and Jey Uso is the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, this match was a lot of fun. Took a while to get going, I think. And it's just, again, it's that, go on then, impress me. I don't know what it is, but it exists. That feeling for me was palpable. And then they did loads of impressive stuff. You know, like, pretty shallow, but really exciting. Yeah. They got some really cool interactions between Bronson and Drew. I want to see that singles match. Jey Uso being involved in the entrance remains incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I called it as well.
You did. I was saying, you know...
You asked me who I had. Who you got.
Because I was thinking, like, okay...
I'd call the winner, but...
Yeah, I said if it's not Drew, after what you're about to say, I said... Ricochet could be a really fun first opponent, and he showcased it here. He's just so good at bumping. They've clearly got plans for Bronson Reed, the way he was presented here, the way he was protected by not being involved in this, and of course through winning the Battle Royal Andre the Giant trophy, even though that has lost its luster from the
minute it happened. Yeah.
But yeah, you turned to me because I said, you know, I think this is a great Raw after WrestleMania in terms of restoring the feeling of that show at least. And you said it needs something else in this. And then you turned to me and you said...
I think Punk interferes with Drew. So the bait and switch during the Drew promo, which, by the way, was magnificent.
Yeah.
He said, I know you've got to go away for a while. And we'd already seen someone else go away for a while. I thought, nah, he's not. And it's going to make it like, inform the shock factor. That's precisely what it did. Punk's acting continues to be great. He's another magician, man. Like, I'm ages away from Punk. I try not to watch it on the screen where possible. Your eyes drift between the two, I find, when you're that far away in a venue. But just Punk's... You can see his smug grin. You can see that it's like a smug grin on the expression of an ant. That's just how good he is. Yes. That's how much, literally, you are drawn to him.
Yeah.
He's so bigger than anyone. In fact, he's probably smaller than most. But he's just so animated. And like when he was doing the Jey Uso...
Yeah, he stood on the table, wasn't he, as the match was finishing.
Yeah. Nah, I had a great time here. If I'm watching it on TV and I'm hearing those like really low crowd responses, and I would say some lackluster, what are we doing here with the NXT guys stuff? But the Drew Punk stuff has been built exquisitely. If you go from the Royal Rumble to now, chance of it being feud of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, The Rock was there. Hollywood Rock saying the F word. That's like my 17-year-old dream.
Mm. It's just a brilliant show, especially with that opening with Cody and Rock. And Jey Uso, number one contender. Really excited to see where they go from here. Let us know your thoughts on that and everything we've discussed in the comments section below or on X at WhatCultureWWE. Make sure you subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. I will say that normal business will sort of resume Friday, but back to normal properly on Monday of next week once we're back from Philly and all sorted back in the office. And I want to say quickly a massive thank you to everyone who has supported us over the years. Obviously, we wouldn't be able to do this and come here if not for that. And also, thanks to everyone who came up to the both of us and said that they listened to the podcast.
Honestly, Jesus Christ, like so many beautiful people we've met this week, and it was just like career highlight,
yeah,
burnt life highlight, really.
Really, really was. But yeah, thanks for joining us today. Let us know your thoughts, as I said, on X at WhatCultureWWE, where you can also follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. But for now, this has been the Raw Review. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us. That's it from us here in Philly, and we will see you soon.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.